Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with your Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day at DSC. Six-blade razor is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. Last night, Paul George... Look, he's not Kevin Durant, but he did his best Kevin Durant impression. 37-16, 5 assists, 3 three-pointers. In the playoffs, he's actually been outstanding, especially of late. 26 a game, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, almost 3 threes a game. Shooting 90 from the line, 46 from the field, 36 from 3. 60.2 total percentage. This is Paul George after the game.
You know, it was no secret. I knew I had to be big tonight and got to be big going forward. It was just no secret coming into this. And first, put faith in God, believed in myself. My teammates trusted me. T-Lou trusted me. You know, I thought we lived in a moment. We just played our hearts out tonight. We don't want nothing but the best for Kawhi. It's a positive. He can get some rest. Hopefully, we can hold it down. We just we got to do what we do. We got to come together. Our season is alive because of his, you know, shouldering of all the work that he's done. And so, you know, we got to hold it together and you know, continue to keep this boat afloat until he returns.
Yeah, I think it's – look, does that mean the Clippers are going to win this series? No. And if you listened yesterday, I told you that first game – where you don't have your guy, especially for a team like the Clippers, who has played without Kawhi Leonard numerous times the past 2 years. They at least have a little bit of experience. And, you know, I'm like, look, everybody gets more shots, you know, and Paul George gets the benefit of the mismatch as opposed to Kawhi Leonard trying to hunt for the mismatch and get Rudy Gobert on him to drive him, you know, shooting over the smaller defenders, going around Joe Ingles, et cetera, et cetera. So I do think some of it is, hey, it's the first game without him, and it's really, really hard to adjust your game plan in Utah when you haven't seen, at least in the playoffs, them play without Kawhi Leonard. And their answer was, we're just going to play small almost the entire time. Zubac played like 8 minutes. So now, obviously, Utah is going to have to form a counterpunch and figure out exactly what and how and why they want to do what and how and why they want to do it. My thinking along with this entire thing is that I thought the Clippers could win the series. They're still dead in the water moving forward. You're not beating Phoenix if Phoenix is at full strength and you don't have Kawhi. But now the pressure is totally on the shoulders still of a Utah Jazz. That's the beauty to losing Kawhi Leonard, which is, I don't know if the pressure played a part in Paul George, but we look at the team completely different based upon our expectations. I mean, look, they still have what you would think to be enough. Obviously, Markieff Morris? Which Morris did they have? They have Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris is outstanding. But remember, he's playing a small ball five. So that's one of the reasons that, you know, he's like open for a reason. Do they have enough? Yeah. Will they win it? Probably not. But it's not like Utah beats you on overall great talent. Right? You have Donovan Mitchell, he's very much Dwayne Wade light in that he's a slightly better shooter than Dwayne Wade, a much better shooter Dwayne Wade at this stage in Dwayne Wade's career with Miami. They have a big-time shot-blocking, non-offensive center, and then versatile shooters all around. That's what they do. And Mitchell really struggled last night, And because of it, and because of their inability to stop Paul George, they got themselves beat. Now, the other big NBA story is Rick Carlisle has, I guess, resigned. He had 2 years left in his contract. And he met with his owner, Mark Cuban, over the last several days. And Cuban fired the GM in Donnie Nelson. And I think he saw the handwriting on the wall. My guess would be that Rick Carlisle has another job in his back pocket. Otherwise, you don't walk away from coaching Luka, no matter how much Luka was fighting you. Do we think that job is Milwaukee? Maybe. I don't think he's coached in Indy before. I don't think it's going back there. He played for the Boston Celtics. I don't think that's, but could be. Could be. I don't think it's the Pelicans. I don't think you leave the Mavericks to go to the Pelicans. Portland, maybe. Right? Portland, maybe. I also think Jamal Mosley is rumored to be the favorite for the job. I do think that with the 7 openings currently, you're going to see a majority of them filled by guys who played more recently, and especially guys who played in the NBA. I think that's what was missing in Boston in terms of communication. And I think it's probably what Dallas is looking for. But Jamal Mosley, he didn't play in the NBA. He's a very good college player, and he's been in and around the league for a long time, even though he's in his early 40s. Younger guys, early 40s, played the game or been around the game, but have some NBA swag. Those are the guys who get this job. But pretty interesting on all the things that have, you go back yesterday, you had Stan Van Gundy getting fired. Now you have this story that Zion Williamson is unhappy with the Pelicans organization. You've had a litany of other coaching changes. Scottie Brooks loses his job. I don't think Rick Carlisle is going to coach Brad Beal and to coach potentially Russell Westbrook. I don't. That one's going to be a hard one to fill. The Boston Celtics are open. Of course, Carlisle played there. They do have talent, but that does not feel like what they probably think they've been missing in a guy who's younger and more relatable to the current roster. I don't know. I think the whole thing is fascinating. Rick Carlisle stepped down. This is from Mark Cuban. Rick informed me today about his decision to step down as head coach. On top of being a tremendous basketball coach, he's a friend and a confidant. Rick Hope helped us bring the Larry O'Brien trophy to Dallas. And those are memories I will always cherish. I want to thank Rick for all he gave the franchise in the city, and we wish him the best. Pelicans are open. Celtics are open. Mavericks are open. Blazers, Pacers, Magic, Wizards. Yes, Gavin.
We've talked about it a ton. It's always amazing to me, though, how the story comes out on the Mavericks, and we hear about Luka's frustration. A few days later, his coach is fired. This story about the Pelicans came out and conveniently Stan Van Gundy is fired. It doesn't happen as much in the NFL, but in the NBA, the players, you can see the through line. You know, they look at the superstar and whatever they get, they want it. I don't know. I know Magic did it, right? Like, I mean, the first coach he had with the Lakers, you know, he pushed him out. So it's just fascinating to me how the NBA works in that aspect.
Yeah, I think so too. Look, I think there is players know, right? Players know. And they know the dysfunction within locker rooms and coaches and guys they bought into and messages. And I'm sure that's what happened in Boston, which is Brad is very good, very well respected in coaching circles. But whether it was his message or his staff's inability to relate, like it did not feel like they were running anything. Felt like they were all playing take 'em ball, and they were not the team they needed to be. And I think that got exposed. I think that's why you're seeing such turnover there.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Broadcasting live from the studios of Fox Sports Radio, here's Doug Gottlieb.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Beyer, let me ask you. Dan Beyer is a native of Wisconsin. He is a huge Bucks fan. I don't think he's a huge, he's a Seahawks fan, not a Packers fan.
That's correct.
But I also value your opinion. When I say Aaron Rodgers and how he's handled all these things, how would you, what really comes to your mind? What do you think about Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think that he's handled it the best. I think that he's, even the way that Brett Favre left, it seems that he is wearing out his welcome even more so than Favre did. The angst with Favre just actually happened when he went to the Vikings, but when he was with the Jets, he was still loved by Green Bay, and they blamed Mike McCarthy, they blamed Ted Thompson, they blamed everybody else but Favre. But I think that there's more blame on Rodgers, and I don't think that he sits as well with that Packer fan base as he once did.
I agree. Okay, so what do you think, Gavin Kinzel, what is your opinion of Aaron Rodgers and how he's handling this?
I mean, he's a diva. I feel like a lot of this is, we've kind of known this about him for a long time. He doesn't have the endearing personality that someone like Brett Favre had to the Packer fans. And I also just think this is vacation time. Like I'm still not taking this as seriously as like he's really going to be out of there. I'll wait till training camp.
Ramos?
Yeah, I agree with both Dan and Gavin. I've heard some Packers fans that are here at the network that enjoy the Packers say, as soon as he goes to another team, I can't wait to root against him. So obviously he's not in the love like as Brett Favre was and stuff like that. So I think he's acted a little bit out of control. I think he thought, like you had mentioned this, Doug, he had thought it was going to go one way and then it kind of backfired and he had to kind of go another way. And I think it's not looking well.
This is from one general manager told FanSided, the guy's selfish. Teammates don't like him. Coaches don't like him. It's all about Aaron. They all deal with him because he's a superstar. He helps guys make money, put food on the table for their kids, and people respect him for that. The longer this goes on, it shows how selfish Aaron really is. That's a former general manager. Now, this is Jay Glazer, Fox NFL insider on the Pat McAfee show.
Still wants out, without a doubt. Absolutely. Still wants out. Every time somebody called the Packers, it was immediately shut down. So, look, what these teams need to do is continue to call and continue to call.
They need to continue to call to continue to call. Yeah, I know, having known Jay long enough, if he says it, it is in fact true. Right? But the idea, this is what Aaron Rodgers has done, is selfish. What Aaron Rodgers has done is, to me, incredibly transparent. Like, think of the things that were done. We didn't hear much of it until right before the NFL draft, which means, by my guess, at that time, whatever request was made, whatever dysfunction there was, he had probably done it some level the right way, where he had, I'm just keeping it to myself, let's see. And they chose to not move him. That's why the story leaked out the day of the draft, because he and his people knew once the draft goes, there's almost no way a team is going to trade you. But let's take the Denver Broncos, for example. Let's say, for example, that Denver goes, hey, we'll give you Teddy Bridgewater so he can be a placeholder starter until Jordan Love's ready. We'll give you, you know, something else. Of course, the Packers will be like, yeah, we'll take Jerry Jeudy, you know, and we'll, you know, we'll pick a defensive player we want as well. But the problem is that you don't trade away the best quarterback or the second best quarterback, whatever, in the game on the hope of Jordan Love while you have him under contract. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're not going to get any top five picks. Yes, you have to get players. And by the way, if you're Aaron Rodgers, your timeline is, you know, you go to the Broncos, but they're going to have to trade away. They're not great to begin with. Adding a great quarterback will help them, but you don't think the Packers would only want to do it if they got it back? The likelihood of a trade now is minuscule. I agree it is selfish. Now, look, sometimes you have to do things that are selfish if you want to be happy. The problem with it is he's under contract. The Packers are like, You don't really have the leverage. And if you choose to sit out for a year, it doesn't matter if you rest your arm for a year. That's 1 year less you can play football. And oh yeah, by the way, the Packers still own your rights. They're not giving away. I don't see them trading him. Yes, Dan Byer. John Ramos.
Who do you think it would be in charge of something like this? This type of, would you think it's Aaron Rodgers goes to his agent and says, this is what I'm going to do? Or the agent says, hey, you need to hold out and see what we can get out of it. I mean, who's making the decisions of how this got to where it is right now, would you say, Doug?
I believe that Aaron Rodgers, along with his agent, they just talk constantly, and I don't think there's a set plan, but they probably talked about it when the season was done. Like, yeah, I got to get out of here. I can't take this place. I don't like Gutekunst. They got Jordan Love. Like, let's go now. Let's go get a new deal somewhere else. You know, maybe we can cash in and get a big new deal here. And the Packers didn't want to play ball at the level they wanted to play ball. And so they, all right, let's leak this to the media. So I think it's them working together on it.
You know, at the risk of sounding like I'm E! Entertainment or Inside Edition or Entertainment Tonight, he's been, I mean, when you look at his past relationships, I know that the Danica Patrick relationship was a little bit more in the public eye. But even when he dated Olivia Wilde, we knew they were dating, but I don't think that there was Olivia Munn. I'm sorry. Good save, John, by the way. When he dated her, I don't think that it was out there as much as he's dating his now fiance, and he's doing this and he's doing that. I got a different sense for him social media wise, even with his, just on how he's going about with his relationships, that all partly seems calculated to do that sort of thing.
Yes. And I feel like that, I feel like we all see through it, but it feels transparent, doesn't it? Which by the way, you know, Aaron never said this to me. I mean, I only talked with him a couple of times, but I do think that's his deal with Russell Wilson. I don't think his deal with Russell Wilson is anything other than he thinks Russell Wilson's a phony. He thinks like all the religious stuff is, and what did he say? The unlimited. It's just all kind of calculated. And it's like somebody said, like, here's a great marketing plan for you. Like, that's his criticism of some of these guys, that they're fake and he's real. But I do think that this is kind of a, you know, the social media thing, just, it's a little over the top. And it doesn't seem like him. Doesn't seem like him. Let's get you to Dan Byer, find out what else is going on. DB, okay, what do you got?
Without looking, and I need John Ramos's thumbs up, is Olivia Wilde married to John Krasinski from The Office?
That's Emily Blunt.
That's Emily Blunt. Okay. Yeah. Who's Olivia Wilde married to?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
No,
Ryan,
no. There it is. No.
Nope.
Ryan Reynolds is married to, it's not Olivia Wilde.
I could have just looked up Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde might be single.
Yeah, I think she was with the guy from Ted Lasso, right? And then she left him for Harry Styles.
Jason Sudeikis.
One Direction.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
All right.
Blake Lively is married to
I like my Ryan Reynolds.
I apologize to everyone in Hollywood for that. That was my fault.
Hollywood insider, Dan Byer.
Hollywood outsider. Here's what's not going on. I can tell you what's going on.
By the way, Olivia Wilde's real name?
Oscar?
I have her Oscar Wikipedia Wilde page up, so I see it.
Author,
it's Oscar. Coburn. But it's a lot like Kofi Coburn. It's spelled C-O-C-K-B.
Oh, jeez.
B-U-R-N.
Oh, yes. Man. That's
right. So, yeah, I mean, like, Coburn. It's like, yeah, you got to. Yeah, you were going to change the name. Like, okay,
change the name. That's wild. Oh, man. Who's not dating who? That next on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Jovan Buha joins us. Jovan, I don't know if you know this expression I usually use, which apparently Jacob deGrom does not agree with, which is no one asks for a second opinion on good news. Right? No one asks. Do we know for sure, and you would know, has it officially been announced that it's an ACL for Kawhi?
It is an ACL. We don't know the extent of it fully yet. I've heard some positive things. I've heard some negative things. So I think I'm kind of waiting on the official news. I think that should be coming out shortly. But it does seem most likely he's going to miss the rest of this series and potentially the playoffs. Obviously, if it's a torn ACL, we're talking about an injury that could keep him out half of next season at a minimum, if not longer. So, you know, this is a really big injury update for the Clippers. But, you know, I think it's incredible what they pulled off last night, given all of that, because I think, you know, without Kawhi Leonard, I think most people are picking the Jazz. And for them to go in there and pull that out, I thought was incredible.
I did, too. I would also point out, and we talked about on the show that, one, the Clippers have played without Kawhi an extensive amount of time, both the past 2 years, so there was a little experience there. And then, two, it's really hard for the opposition, right? Because all of a sudden now, all the expectations are, well, you're at home, you're supposed to win anyway, and you're at home and they don't have Kawhi Leonard, and you don't really know how the Clippers are going to play, who they're going to – you know, everything you've been doing is to prepare – you know, to adjust to the adjustments, and now you've got to adjust to almost a completely different rotation of players. So I thought if it was going to happen, a win was going to happen, last night was actually the night. What did Ty Lue do with those minutes? What did he do that you thought was creative that allowed them to get the win outside of Paul George was awesome?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, sticking to what had worked, staying small, you know, not changing that game plan, because I think, you know, it's one thing to stay small when you have an all-world wing like Kawhi Leonard who can do so many things on both sides of the floor. But I think some coaches might have gone more traditional and been like, you know, we don't have a guy who can outright replace Kawhi. I mean, even Paul George stepping up, like, I mean, he's not fully replacing Kawhi. And then even if he is, then obviously someone has to take on that burden that Paul George normally takes on, because it's not just like him scoring more doesn't replace both of those things. So I thought him really sticking with that, playing Terrence Mann more, who has been really key for them in the playoffs. I mean, he had that late dunk on Rudy Gobert and just was making plays. And, you know, it isn't a guy that has really shot the ball that great so far in his NBA career, but just makes plays. And you know, I thought that was a great example of, you know, not getting baited into taking the three. Rudy was playing off of him a little bit. Kind of pump fakes, Rudy starts to close out, and then he drives by him and dunks on him with the and one dunk. So I thought, and you know, really the resiliency, and you know, I saw, I'm not covering the series, but I've been following it, and I saw some of the quotes, and Ty just saying basically, like, you know, like you said, we played without Kawhi, and like, we're not going to change anything. And that's really what it felt like. It just felt like everybody else kind of did a little bit more, and Paul George obviously did a lot more, and that kind of cumulative effort ended up producing, I think, one of the biggest wins in Clippers history, because, you know, I think even with Kawhi potentially being out for this series, like, I think it's a really tough pill to swallow if you're the Clippers and your first 2 years of Kawhi and PG are second round exits. You know, this was a team that was the heavy favorite, you know, for much of last season, and was expected again to be a contender this season, especially once the Lakers went out. So I think for them to lose in the second round would be a really tough blow for that franchise. And who knows, maybe they do advance now. And you know, I would still favor Phoenix, even if Chris Paul misses a couple games, just with the way they've been playing. But this Clippers team is resilient, and I think that's a key difference from the team we saw last season and even some Clippers teams past.
They are resilient, but there is obviously there's going to be a talent drop off, and
for sure
they're trying to find minutes for Rondo, and that's a struggle, right? I mean, that just he can't play, you know, he can't, and they try to play him with Pat Beverly. It didn't go very well. Is there anything else does he have anything else left up his sleeve, in your opinion?
I think it's just sticking with this, because I think what you've really seen, and you've seen this at times in previous postseasons, like, it is really hard when a team fully downsizes and has basically five guards and wings out there who can all shoot or drive. It's hard to keep Rudy Gobert out there. And because of his status as an all-star, the reigning, you know, three-time defensive player of the year, like, Quinn Snyder is not going to bench him. That's really his last resort. And I think the Clippers are testing that. And, you know, I felt there were several key possessions last night in which the Clippers exploited just having a 7'2" slower guy trying to close out and rotate and re-rotate and make several rotations on, you know, multiple, you know, defensive possessions. It's just that's hard for any seven-footer to do, and that's why you have seen, as the league has downsized and you know, more pace and space and more three-point shooting, like, it is harder to play non-athletic centers. And Rudy Gobert is great at protecting the paint. He's great at protecting the rim, but he's not great at closing out. He's not great at rotating to guards. Like, that's just not his forte. So I think the Clippers have the formula. It's obviously going to come down to, are they making shots? I mean, we've seen the wild swings with their shooting this season, you know, in their 0-2 losses to both the Mavericks and the Jazz. They did not shoot the ball well. In the two games that they responded with winning, they shot the ball well. Like, there's been some very violent shooting swings with this team. So to me, it's just stay small, stay attacking Gobert, make him have to rotate, make him have to defend on the perimeter. And if you shoot the ball well, you know, PG gets you 30-plus points, gets to the free throw line again. I think they could win this thing. Now, again, I don't think they could beat Phoenix. I don't think that they if they somehow beat Phoenix, I don't think they could beat Brooklyn or whoever comes out of the East. But I think it would be nice for the franchise, even with Kawhi out, to make a conference finals run.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's say they pull this thing off, right? Let's say they pull this thing off and they beat Utah. More likely game six, but possibly game seven. What would it mean to the franchise to win one more game, considering the devastation that had to feel going into yesterday?
It'd be huge. You know, I think that, especially for Paul George, right? Because we've all made the pandemic P jokes and replayed the video of him hitting the side of the backboard. And, I mean, he's seemingly just continues to throw himself under the bus with some of the quotes he has and just how, tone deaf he can be at times with some of the things he's saying, but he's really stepped up. And you know, I thought tonight was a really big legacy game for him because it wasn't easy. You know, the situation was there for the Clippers to just fold over, lose by 20 points, be like, okay, let's go back to LA and try to even this series. And for Paul George to have a stinker of a game. And we've seen him do that in the playoffs before. We saw it happen last postseason. And, you know, that's why I think there is, you know, some of the negative perception of PG throughout some of his recent postseason runs, but he really stepped up. And I think his lows have not been as low this postseason as in some of those OKC runs and last postseason. And I just think overall, he had a really good year, made all NBA. And I think it's kind of rewriting some of the narrative on him. And that's all you can really ask for. So, I mean, I think it's huge for the franchise to get their first conference finals berth. But it's just as big for Paul George to kind of put some of that you know, negative talk to rest of, I am a superstar, I am still a top 15 guy, and I'm going to go out and prove it, and I'm going to be the best player on the floor against a team that also has a couple All-NBA guys, you know, on the other side. So I think it's huge for the franchise because they've never gone this far, and again, I think they'd be heavy underdogs against the Suns, but you know, for them to even get that far, I think would be a success in its own right.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Any sense of this changing Kawhi? Like, there was talk at least, hey, Kawhi could be on the open market if they lost early. Now they were in position to win this series. Then he pops up getting hurt. Have you been able to make any contact as to what his plans are in the long-term future?
I think there's a lack of clarity from what I've heard as far as, you know, I don't think he has informed the team yet that he's going to re-sign. But I do think it is trending in a positive direction. I think had they lost in the first round to Dallas and you know, remember, they were down 2-0 and down 31-9 in the opening minutes of that first quarter of game three. Like, we're looking at potentially a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. Had they gone out that way, I think there would have potentially been some self-reflection of, is this the right situation? You know, is this the way I want to end my career? Do I trust this organization? But for them to bounce back and win that, for them to bounce back from the 2-0 deficit this series and potentially win this, and for it to be kind of out of his control with him having that injury, I do think things are trending in the right direction. I mean, I also think if you're Kawhi, like, you know, we saw it with Anthony Davis when he re-signed with the Lakers. You know, he could have done the Kevin Durant, LeBron James tactic of, okay, you know, 1+1, 2+1. I want some flexibility. I want to test the market. I want to put pressure on the team. But AD signed a 5-year extension because he was like, I've not been healthy and I want to secure as much money as possible and have, you know, just some security with my career. I think Kawhi should honestly take the same route. Like, I don't think this should be a 1+1, 2+1 situation. Like, you know, we know he's had the quad injury. We know he's load managed. Now he has this potential ACL injury. And you know, you look at a guy like Klay Thompson, who had been as healthy as anybody up until he tore his ACL, and then, you know, tries to make his comeback and ends up tearing his Achilles on the same leg. Like, I think if you're Kawhi, you even if this isn't a serious injury, you got to really think about securing that money, securing the years, and just signing a 5-year deal with the Clippers, or going elsewhere and signing a 4-year deal. But for me, if I'm Kawhi, I got to get that guaranteed money, because I have dealt with injuries nonstop for the past few years, and you just can't be confident in him remaining healthy. So I think things are trending in the positive direction. You know, PG's locked up. I think they're obviously confident in Ty Lue. They think he was the right guy for the job. I think he's proving that so far. And I think Kawhi is most likely going to re-sign this offseason, sign that extension for 4 or 5 years.
Feels like game 6, the pressure's still on the Jazz. Is that fair?
I think so. I mean, if you're Utah, you know, as you said, I thought it was hard to game plan for them, and they talked about that. I mean, they were going back to like regular season matchups of like the Clippers versus, you know, random Team X. How did they play without Kawhi? But I mean, if you lose these two games without Kawhi Leonard playing, I mean, yes, Mike Conley's out. Yes, Donovan Mitchell is somewhat hobbled, but he just put up what, almost 40 points in game 4. Like, you know, he's looked fine in this series despite that ankle injury for the most part. So I think it's just an utter failure for Utah of being the one seed, you know, having, I think the conference finals, looking like in your favor, and then having this situation unfold. Like, I mean, that to me is the type of potential core altering situation where we have to really think about our core of, we've not been able to make a conference finals with this group. This should have been a layup with no Kawhi. Like, we got to really think about things.
Awesome stuff, Yvonne. I mean, it's been really good following you and great having you on. Let's see what happens in game 6. We'll talk again very soon. By the way, I know you covered the Lakers as well for The Athletic. It hasn't been mentioned, but, you know, the reason Ty Lue turned down the Lakers was it was only a 3-year deal, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, and now he gets the, so Frank has a 3-year deal. He has only 1 year left. There's been no talk of an extension at all. What's going on with the Lakers?
Yeah, it's a good question. Frank was asked about it at his exit interview, and he said that it's something he doesn't really want to talk about, but he's committed to the Lakers. He wants to remain with the Lakers. Rob Pelinka was also asked about it, and that obviously is probably the more important answer. And he said Frank has done a great job, that he understands the context of the season, that, you know, the team obviously dealt with injuries at inopportune times, and that the coaching, you know, the organization loves Frank and his coaching staff, and they're behind them. Now, obviously, actions speak louder than words, and the fact that Frank has not signed an extension, I do think is interesting. You know, and initially, you know, the Lakers were looking at Ty Lue, of course, but also Jason Kidd, remember? And there was that kind of speculation that when Jay Kidd was brought on the coaching staff, that it was potentially as the sort of pressure on Frank of, if you don't perform, you know, we have another guy right here who can step over and be the head coach. So, I think it would be foolish for the Lakers to move on from Frank after this season. I mean, I really don't know how many other buttons he could have pushed once Anthony Davis was out. And I mean, they just got demolished in those last couple of games, you know, made the late run in game 6, but the series was essentially over once AD was out. So I think, I mean, he won a championship in his first year. Second year was derailed by injuries. It's hard to judge him in a negative light. So I think, maybe it's a situation where they're going to give him that third year and then make the call. But if I was them, I would at least look for a 1 or 2 year extension with him, because I personally think he's done a good job.
Yvonne, great stuff, dude. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Sounds good, Doug. Thank you.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So here's the story I want to tell you about this song, John. So I went to a high school where I didn't grow up school district. Okay. If you were to draw a map, I grew up in the city of Orange, in Orange County, California. Orange, most famous for the Orange Circle. Really good street fair. Labor Day weekend. That's really what it's known for. And Chapman University is downtown, which the downtown is the old Orange Circle. You guys ever seen the movie, what's the one hit wonders? What was it called? The Wonders? Yeah, The Wonders, right? Anyway, that was the early scenes were filmed in Orange. Anyway, so my first basketball pep rally I had never been to, or pep rally I'd never been to, is for, but they would introduce the sports teams, and we as basketball players got introduced to that song, and I forever it has been embedded in my brain as the coolest thing ever. Ever. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Eddie House tomorrow, John Middlecoff tomorrow. Dan Beyer joins us tomorrow, which is weird because we had Dan Beyer now.
Yes, I'll be at the U.S. Open tomorrow. Russell Henley, your first-round leader in the clubhouse right now at 4-under par. Morning wave wrapping everything up. So Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, all starting their first rounds.
Shouldn't Russell wear a Henley? I just saying. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day. A DSC six-blade razor is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one at a store near you or go to dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. dollarshaveclub.com/Doug.
Doug, the Chicago Bears have submitted a bid to purchase a racetrack in the suburb of Arlington Heights, Illinois. Ooh. The team continues to look at options for possibly building a new stadium. This statement from Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot saying, quote, "This is clearly a negotiating tactic that has been used before." Going on to say, "And like most Bears fans, we want the organization to focus on putting a winning team on the field, beating the Packers finally, and being relevant past October."
Roger wow.
Roger that.
That's you know, the mayor.
Great way to endear yourself to a franchise that might move. He's buying a racetrack. That's been done before. Yes, by the Rams, you dope. How'd that work out, St. Louis?
I don't know if the Bears will leave the Chicago Metroland area. They may move out to the suburbs, though, and that ain't helping them, keeping them in the city of Chicago. Rick Carlisle done after 13 seasons as the Mavericks head coach, stepping down today.
Yeah, weirdest thing was he wrote a letter on notes on his phone. Like later.
I just don't understand the market for him. He's 61. We've seen this trend towards younger coaches, guys who, you know, some who have played.
I'll tell you, ready?
Yeah.
You won a championship.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
It's the last time they also won a
playoff
series.
They've had a ton of first-round exits, whatever, but he won a championship. And in general, to win a championship in the NBA, you have to have the respect of a locker room. In order to have the respect of a locker room, you have to have won a championship.
All right, Doug, I know you and Hayes will have some battles on this one. Madden 22's cover is out, and I think they kind of took the easy way out, putting both Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes on the cover of Madden 22.
What are we doing? Like, first Sports Illustrated breaks into quad covers. Now Madden's got two cover boys?
Yeah, not a fan of that at all.
No.
That's no. No.
We've got participation. Why don't we just put everybody on there?
That's the press.
No.
Hey, get out there and press.
That yes, was the press.
All right, what happens with your Bucks tonight?
I'm taking Milwaukee to win to force a Game 7 Saturday.
What's the number? It's pretty big, isn't it?
Don't know. Don't care.
Oh, put all the money on Milwaukee.
5.5-point favorites for Milwaukee.
Wow. I think the Nets close them out. I think the Nets close them out. Eddie House, John Middlecoff, and Dan Beyer tomorrow. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.